Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And our special guest, as I mentioned earlier, is Russell L. Brown. He's been a business broker and a consultant for many years. He's been directly or indirectly involved in all aspects of buying, selling, and brokering of hundreds of operating businesses. He's the president of RDS Associates Incorporated, as well as the Business Book Press, which we'll get him to tell us about in just a little bit. He operates out of Niantic, Connecticut. He's the author of two books that I have in my hand, at least these two, because I've got them in my hand. One of them is Preparing Your Business for Sale, and the other one is Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, which received the Kiplinger's recommendation from Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, and he's also a member of our Brain Trust. Russ, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. I'm really glad to be back.
It's always good to have you with us. Haven't talked to you in a few weeks, and we've missed you.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you've been enjoying the summer, because I know I have.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. Russ, one of the things that that happens a lot, I get this question an awful lot, and I know you do too, because you live in this world all the time, and that is, how much is my business worth? And one of the things that I know in talking to small business people is it's usually not worth as much as they think it is.
That's
because it's their baby, you know. They built it and of course the magic, if unless it's just a really big company, the magic number is always $1 million. Well, I think it'll be worth $1 million.
Yeah. Well, if they're on my business, they're going to have to give me $1 million.
That's right. Yeah. Or they've already calculated what they can live on when they sell their business. You know, maybe it's $750,000, maybe it's $2 million, or whatever. They've already calculated how much money it would take them to finish out their life, so to speak. And that's what I've actually had people. They didn't know I knew that, but I knew that that's how they came up with the price.
Well, that's exactly right. Most small business owners, when they get ready to sell and doing it for retirement purposes, that's what they do. They figure out how much money do I need to survive in retirement, and that's how they price the business.
Yeah, I take $1 million, put it in tax-free bonds. That'll make me about 6% tax-free, something like that. That's $60,000. You know, my house is paid for. I'll get rent off the building, and hey, I can take a trip around the world.
There you go.
But it
but
has
unfortunately,
no,
that's not how people buy businesses.
No, because the person buying it is not going to. It may become his or her baby, but right now it's just a cold, hard investment, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and that's what I advise buyers all the time. You're in the driver's seat. You don't have to buy that business. And a lot of times, of course, business owners don't have to sell it either. Except a lot of them do. I mean, they've waited till the last minute to get their business on the market. They're ready to retire. They're tired. They're done, and they want to sell that business.
Yeah.
But what you say is absolutely true about the way they price it. They price it emotionally or by their financial needs, or for whatever way. Even if they hire someone or get a broker to come in and give them some advice on what the business might be, they always tend to want to double the price. Well, let's put that price up there and give ourselves negotiating room,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. So typically the businesses I've seen that have not been professionally valued are about valued somewhere in the range of double what they were really worth.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to find a way, you know, if you're going to be realistic with yourself. And by the way, just because you do that, because you double the value of your business, doesn't mean you're going to get it. In fact, just the opposite.
Well, you also have to remember this other rule of thumb that I, and you can't blame people in a way for having this attitude, and that is that you can always come down, but you can never go up.
That's right.
So you can't really blame people for that, but you got to be careful not to give a good prospect sticker shock.
Well, that's true, and I will argue a little bit about not going up, because if you can properly price a business, and when I say properly, you know, there isn't anyone in the world that can give you an exact price for that business. It still is. There's a lot of intangible issues mm-hmm. that come into play. Still has a lot to do with what a buyer is willing to buy at any given point in time. And
it could be worth more to one person than it is to another.
Absolutely, for lots of different reasons,
mm-hmm.
and we can talk about those during the hour. But the point is that there's no one. If anyone ever comes in and says they can pinpoint the price for you, that's just not true. It can give you a range of reason of value where that business would sell under reasonable conditions,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you have to work with, I would say, because that gives you a reasonable chance of getting a good buyer who's going to be able to carry that business along. And most likely, you're going to be, as a business seller, you're going to be carrying some financing, maybe substantial amount of financing, and you want that buyer to succeed.
Absolutely.
You don't want to overprice that business initially so that the buyer can't afford to make the payments to you.
Okay, I'm a small business owner, and I call you up and I say, Mr. Brown, I would like to sell my business. I'm not ready to tell you why I want to sell it right now, but I've been in business for about 10 years, and I'd like for you to help me sell my business. What do you need to help me do that?
Well, the first thing I tell them, what I'm going to need is the last 3 years of their IRS income tax returns. Got to see the financial information about the business. That's the lifeblood of any business, is how the finances move, what the sales are, what the expenses are, at least as reported to Uncle Sam on an IRS tax returns. Those are the sort of the bona fides, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that you can sort of hang your hat on. Typically, people don't overstate their income so that they can pay more taxes to Uncle Sam. Of course, small businesses are operated just the opposite. They try to defer as much income as they can or deflate the income that they have so that they minimize the taxes that
mm-hmm.
they pay. So that's a different issue we can also talk about. So the first thing I want to see is all of that. Second thing I want to see is the history of the company. I want to know all about what the company does, how long it's been in business, was it started by the principals, these kinds of questions that give me a feel for what they're doing with the business.
So that information, that historical information, helps you to place a value on the business.
Oh, absolutely, because well, at some point, we're going to need to arrive at a discount factor. We're going to need to arrive at a number that we use to apply to the riskiness of buying that business. And that history is going to help us determine what that riskiness factor is.
All right, stand by, Russ. We're going to continue our discussion with Russ Brown, folks, when we take a break. After we take a break, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Glassingham, a small business advocate. We're talking about how to value your small business. 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Glassingham, a small business advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. 888-822-8255. That's the phone number, toll-free, coast-to-coast. And our good friend is our special guest, Russ Brown, is our good friend. And he is the author of two outstanding books, Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Russ, these are both still available in bookstores.
Yes, they are.
And they're available from your website.
Absolutely. And, of course, you can always get them on Amazon.com. But if you want to come to www.businessbookpress.com, I'll give you a better deal than Amazon will give you.
Especially if they buy both of them. You've got a big discount for them.
I got even a better discount. They can't even come near to Amazon.
Yeah. All right. Check that out, folks. And Russ, by the way, go ahead and give us your website, please.
www.businessbookpress.com. Or if you want to give me a call, I love to talk to people. 800-363-8867.
One more time.
800-363-8867.
All right. And if you've got any questions out there, folks, that you'd like to ask Russ, you can do that right now if you want, and share it with me and our audience. We don't have to know who you are if you don't want to tell us, or even where you are. 888-822-8255, or later on if you want to send Russ an email, or if you can't find Russ, if you forgot any of that information, you can find him on our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, in the Brain Trust section especially. He'll be in some of the other sections as well, but especially there, including links to his email and to his website. Russ, when we took the break, you were talking about needing to know some history of the company. We're valuing a business here, folks. We're talking about how you place a value on a small business. And Russ was just saying that he would like to know as much about the history of the company as possible because it helps him when he develops the discount factor. Talk to us about the discount factor, Russ.
Well, the discount factor is just, it's a very simple number, really, that indicates the level of risk in a company. It's a number that you're going to use to apply against the reconstructed earnings of the business
mm-hmm.
to give you a reasonable prediction of the ability of that company to continue to generate profits for you. Now, no one's got a crystal ball. No one can say for sure that things will continue. But you can bet I, in fact, people do it all the time. When I say bet, you put your money on the fact that if a company's been sitting there earning X amount of dollars every year for the last 20 years, and there's no big major changes coming technologically or
in
the marketplace, then those earnings will probably continue just as they are, as long, again, as long as you don't do something screwy, those will continue for the next several years at least. So so it's a good bet that that business will continue earning those dollars for you. Now, there are lots of things that can impact the future of the business. If it's a small retail operation on Main Street, and next year a Walmart or Target store or one of these big chain stores are going to open up down the street, that could be a problem. That
or if the business is heavily dependent upon the owner. If the owner is the main reason people are coming to do business with that company, and that person is now about to leave,
right?
That could be a problem.
That's right, and that's why you'd want to wrap that business seller up with some kind of a continuing employment contract or advisor consultant contract for next year or two to make sure that owner stays associated with the business and helps you transition that business from that person to yourself. So these are all things. There are no problems you can't overcome as long as you know what the problems are.
You know, a lot of people hearing you say these things, when somebody says, you know, let's talk about valuing a business, they get their calculator out and they say, okay, we're gonna do some math here. And there is a lot of math that has to be done in valuing a business, but basically we haven't talked very much about math so far. We've been talking about the circumstances around that business.
Right.
And even though we did talk a little bit earlier about the tax returns, you know, it is important to know the circumstances surrounding that business to be able to have an understanding of the value.
Absolutely. I'm working on a valuation right now. I just got it in on Friday, so I haven't really begun to do too much with it, but I've taken a look at the subchapter S IRS tax returns bottom line, and to my surprise, in the last full year, the bottom line for this 100% owned company, profit is over $3 million.
And a sub S.
It's a sub S.
That's
only been in business for a little over 2 years.
Wow.
So imagine I'm going to have a challenge valuing this business that has no history.
That's incredible. Russ, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. We're back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Russ Brown is our special guest and our good friend. He's a member of the Brain Trust and the president of RDS and Associates. Also, his outstanding website is called Business Book Press. Is that businessbookpress.com?
Yes, sir.
And Russ, we're talking about how to value a business. Now, there's some rules of thumb that I know you know about, that when it comes to valuing a business, there really is no, there have been a lot of books written about valuing businesses, and a lot of people making a lot of money, and you're one of them who make money, who provide that service in valuing a business, but there really isn't just one method or even two or three methods. There are a lot of methods of valuing a business, but give us some general rules of thumb.
Well, there's probably, like you said, hundreds of ways to value a business. There are basically five, if you come right down to it, starting off with what I don't, we'll talk about rules of thumb in a second, but that starts at, that's one of the areas that business brokers are very familiar with, and they'll use that as a measure to get an idea, the ballpark of what a business might be worth.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an asset-based valuation, basically, which is the liquidation value of a company. There's a market comparison valuation. If you can find another business somewhere else in a similar circumstances that sold recently,
Now, that's very similar to the way real estate is valued.
Exactly. This is very, very difficult to do because, you know, businesses are much different than real estate. And, and to find one, and plus the market information about the sale of businesses is just not, it's not public information and it's not known. So it's very difficult to get comparison valuations. And then there's two other ones that are more mathematically oriented, the present value of a business's future earnings, and then the capitalization of the current net earnings. Basically, the first one I just said, the present value of future earnings, takes, if you've got a long history of the company and it's showing a good, solid 10% gain in future earnings for the net, you know, for the last 20 years, you can extrapolate that out for the next 10 years, perhaps, and use discounted value of money to bring that back to what that would be worth today. So that's another way of doing it. I don't like that method. It's complicated, and I just don't think going out 10 years or even 5 years is necessarily the right way to look at this. And then the last way is the capitalization, which I believe is the right way to do it. It's looking at what's happened, taking in the way of a profitability for the company, taking into consideration the history that we talked about, coming up with a discount rate to apply to the reconstructed earnings of the business, and from that generating a value. So that's what we'll talk about. But before we do that, I'm going to talk about rules of thumb. People have rules of thumb all over this country, business brokers, investment bankers, mergers and acquisition specialists, and the shoeshine boy. Everybody's got a rule of thumb on how to value different kinds of businesses. And generally, they don't work. They can get you some sanity check, perhaps, or some rough, very rough idea. But that's about all they're good for. Don't ever try to buy a business or sell a business based on a rule of thumb. I'll give you an example. One rule of thumb that's generally accepted around the country for small, mid-level motels is $20,000 per room. Or somewhere in that range, $20,000-$25,000 per room. Well, you know, here's the problem with applying that number to a motel. What if you've got, 100 rooms, and you apply your $20,000 per room? That's $2 million for that motel. But if you and you look at the financial tax returns on that, or the bottom line, and they're losing $200,000 or $300,000 a year,
because they're now not on the main thoroughfare,
right?
For whatever reason,
because the new interstate went by, 10 miles away or whatever, and for whatever reason, they have a very low occupancy rate, their income is low, their expenses, you still got the insurance and all of the other real estate taxes and the cost of whatever financing you have, you got all of that still continuing, and you're losing money.
Where a rule of thumb is handy is if I use rules of thumb for other types of things, and what that does is it sort of gets you a quick idea about whether you even want to spend any time looking further at something or not.
Right.
Don't you think?
Exactly.
It can be very, what Russ is saying is exactly right. Don't use it to make your decision, but rules of thumb are handy. They're handy little tools just to see if it's even plausible for you to consider.
Right. So let's go back to the motel. I think that what you've got to do, if you're going to use a rule of thumb to get yourself to decide whether you even want to consider that business, the first question to ask, did you make money? Are you profitable? After all your expenses and reasonable expenses, the owner's taken out a salary, the owner-operator, all expenses are paid, did the business make money? Answer yes? Okay. Now you can apply $20,000 to $25,000 a room as a ballpark so that you can start to understand, is this something you want to consider?
Russ, stand by. We got to take a quick break. I'm going to have to interrupt you. Folks, it's 39F. We're going to be right back. We're going to finish up with rules of thumbs and then move over into some of the other categories of evaluating a business. When we come right back after these messages, I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that coming up in the next hour, John Stanton, our good friend John Stanton, is going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about his book, Success Leaves Clues. Specifically today with John, we're going to be talking about marketing strategy. And John does a great job of helping us with understanding customer service and marketing and advertising, and looking forward to having him with us. Right now, we're continuing our visit with our good friend Russ Brown, and Russ is the author of a book called Preparing Your Business for Sale, as well as the book Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. They're both outstanding, and you can get those at his website, which is
www.businessbookpress.com.
All right, and or you can go to Amazon or most of the online stores.
Right, and
Or also in your local bookstore, and if they don't have it, they'll order it for you.
Yeah, and I'm working on the second edition to that first book.
Is that right?
It's done so well that we're now getting toward the end of its first run.
Congratulations.
And so we're going to come out with a second edition.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's continue to talk about rules of thumb. We were saying that rules of thumb, while you shouldn't be using rules of thumb for valuing a business to make your decision, but they are handy to know. They're nice to know. They're nice to have in your little kit bag, your little toolbox, so to speak, so that you can see if it's something you even want to consider. And a lot of people who become good at whatever they do, whether it be buying real estate or horses or cars or whatever, you know, they have these little rules of thumb, so they can be very handy, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. And I've got a book that has the most extensive listing of rules of thumb of businesses in this country. And it's a compilation of rules of thumb from business brokers all over the United States who have based their rules of thumbs on the actual sale of businesses that they've accomplished. Now, these are profitable businesses, and they range anywhere from bakeries and hair salons all the way up to manufacturing companies and so on. I forget how many there are, but there's hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. And so I sell that book on my website. And if someone wants to just call and ask me for one of them, I'd be glad to pass it along to them.
Okay, good. Thanks, Russ. Let's talk about some more rules of thumb.
Okay, you want to... We talked about the motels.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about bookstores.
Yeah, 40, what about a bookstore?
40-50% of annual net sales plus inventory. So if your bookstore sold $300,000, roughly you're talking about $150,000 for the business plus whatever the value of the inventory is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Let's get back to the problem with that. Did the business make money? It has to have made money. And not only did it make money, I mean, is a dollar? I mean, are you going to pay $250,000 for a business that made a dollar? I think not. So you really have to. Most of these rules of thumb all relate to sales and gross sales or monthly sales or things like I said in the motels and hotels, which have to do with the number of units that are available.
Mm-hmm.
Even hairdressing salons tend to sell for some a rule of thumb of $10,000 per station in the hair salon.
Now, one of the things I want to make sure that we understand is that we differentiate between the business and the real estate.
Oh, yes.
See, because earlier you said $20,000 per motel room, but were you talking about the business or the real estate or both?
In that case, I was specifically including the real estate.
You were including the real estate.
Right, and that's another problem with rules of thumb.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's a good point. But now when you're talking about a hairdressing salon, they might not own that real estate.
And that's presuming that they don't.
Right. So that price was for the going business in that location, not necessarily the real estate.
Right. That would be the going business, mm-hmm. all of the valued employees that they may have,
mm-hmm.
all of the whatever the inventory, quote unquote, might be, you know, the shampoos and all of that stuff. You know, it's basically a turnkey deal.
What about have you got something there for distributors, wholesalers?
Sure do. Again, about anywhere from 25 to 50% of annual gross sales. by the way, I've been working very closely with a national company buying up small distributors. And so it's been turning out that around the country, distributors sell for about 3 to 4 times reconstructed net earnings. 3 to 4 times.
3 to 4 times
reconstructed net profit.
Right.
So in other words, if you make $100,000 profit in your distributorship,
mm-hmm.
you can expect to sell your business for $300,000 to $400,000. Plus inventory.
Right.
Plus inventory.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it would include that 3 to 4 times earnings would include all of any equipment that you might have if you were, if you have some trucks for delivery, and office equipment, and computers, and all of that stuff.
Well, one thing that that I think, if nothing else, I think people should be getting the idea, is that if they're thinking about buying a business, they probably need to hire somebody who knows how to do that, because most of us don't.
Probably the best investment you'll ever make.
Exactly. Stand by, Russ. We've got to take a quick break, folks. It's 50 after. We're going to be right back with Russ Brown. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Remember the name of the show and put the words together and put the normal stuff on the front and back. Russ Brown is our special guest. He's our good friend, a member of the Brain Trust, and the president of RDS Associates, Inc. He's an expert in buying and selling businesses. He's an outstanding author on the subject, and folks, if you need any help with buying or selling a business, Russ is the guy to go to. Russ, give us an 800 number quickly in your website.
800-363-8867. Mm-hmm. And the website, businessbookpress.com.
Right. And don't forget, you can find Russ all over my website, especially in the Brain Trust, including links to his email and website. Russ, let's wrap up the hour talking a little bit more about rules of thumb. And what I'd like to ask you to do is what you've done in the past with on other subjects is come back and let's do a series on valuing businesses. Would you do that?
I'd be glad to do it, Jim.
Good. I appreciate that. Well, what we'll do next time you join us, we'll move over into the asset approach to buying a business. Then we'll move on down in the list of the five topics, starting with rule of thumb, which we've covered today. Next time we'll talk about assets, then we'll move into market comparison, then to present value of future earnings, and then the capitalization of current earnings. All of these are different methods, and we'll get you to talk to us about how they work and the pros and cons of each one of them, so that by the time we get through this series, people will have a better understanding of how to value their business, and they'll be more educated, and they'll be more realistic, and hopefully more successful in either buying or selling a business.
Okay.
Let's wrap up with rules of thumb. Give us some more rules of thumb. What about retail? Have you got a rule of thumb there for retail?
Well, sure do. Again, retail is very much like distributors. It's about 50% of your annual gross sales plus inventory.
Uh-huh.
Again, this is
not counting real estate. That's a whole other purchase consideration, folks.
Right, but it does include furniture, fixtures, and equipment. That's a common term in business is FF&E.
Right.
Furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And that encompasses all of the display cases and the office operation equipment, your computers and faxes and all of those sort of things,
mm-hmm.
and your lighting fixtures and that. A lot of times retail businesses pay for all of that in the unit they're occupying. Now, if the business owns the real estate, that is either purchased separately or is leased.
Mm-hmm.
And a long discussion about leases and being able to tie up a good business location. That's very important.
Yeah, because the location may be one of the main reasons you're buying the thing.
Well, if you get a retail business, the location is extremely important.
Yep, absolutely.
And, if you have a type of business that doesn't matter, a lot of times manufacturing companies or
dealerships
and wholesalers, mm-hmm. People will... You don't have walk-in customers.
You want to be off the beaten path, actually.
Right. Or if you've got a service company,
mm-hmm.
like a repair shop of some kind.
Right.
People will seek you out and go to where you are. That's no big deal. That's not an impulse kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But retail stores generally need to cluster together. It has to be where people are shopping or go to shop.
Right.
Want to park their vehicle and then have that... that retail shopping experience close by, you know,
Russ,
all together for them.
We're going to have to interrupt you. We've got to wrap it up for this hour. You did a great job again,
and
as always.
Flies by on your show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Be careful.
All right. Thank you very much.
See you, Russ. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes with John Stanton. Let me tell you about our special guest today. John Stanton has been with us before several times.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.